हरे हरे राम हरे राम
हरे राम हरे राम
राम राम हरे हरे
राम राम हरे हरे।
सो यू आर वेलकम एट स्कंद बलरामदेश टेम्पल फॉर सैटरडे मॉर्निंग चैतन्य चरितामृत सत्संग। What God is speak is Bhagavad Gita. What God is speak. What God does is Bhagavatam. What God thinks is Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are different levels. What God talks, what God walks, and what God thinks. So Bhagavad Gita is what Krishna is speaking. But Bhagavat is what he is doing. Chaitanya is what he is thinking. So everything is subtler than the other one. The section which we are discussing, the Chaitanya Charita Amrita, has three sections: Adi Leela, Madhya Leela, Antya Leela. Adi Leela up till Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas. This is called Adi Leela, which has its past childhood pastime, as a adolescent pastime, then as an educationist, and then after marriage, and then sannyas. After sannyas, for 4 years, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu toured all over the India, South India, and then also North India, came to Vrindavan. That's called Madhya Leela. And then the last 18 years or so he stayed in Jagannath Puri, that is called Antya Leela. So his pastimes are in these three time periods. So we are now discussing the Madhya Leela. It means it is the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is generally touring. And when he was coming from Jagannath Puri to Vrindavan, when he was coming at Prayagraj, Rupa Goswami, one of his very dear disciple, met him, and then there is a teaching to Rupa Goswami for 10 days. That is chapter 20th and something, 1928. When he was going back from Vrindavan in Banaras, Kashi, Sanatana Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Sanatana Goswami, then 2 months Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking to Sanatana Goswami. And this section is called Teaching of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. So this is that section. Sanatana Goswami has three questions. Who am I? Why there are miseries in this material world? And what is the goal of the life and how to achieve that? These are the questions asked by Sanatana Goswami. So this chapter is how to achieve the goal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave first answer, who am I? Says Jivera Swarupa Krishna Nitya Das. The living entity is eternally in a loving service mood to the Supreme Life. This is the identity of it. Why we are suffering? Because we forget Krishna, therefore Maya gives us trouble. The answer given is simple. Krishna Bhulya. Anadi Kal, for a long time we are forgetting Krishna, therefore Maya Detaha Sansara Dukha. Therefore the Maya is giving the miseries in the material world. Goal, he said, goal is Krishna Prem. We revive our loving relationship with our loving Father, Creator, God. That is the goal. How to achieve? He used three words: Sambandha, Abhidheya, Priyojan. Sambandha means developing relationship through knowledge. So Sambandha is called Jnana, Sambandha Jnana. If we know, if we get knowledge about a person, then we will develop relationship. Then the process Abhidhyaya means actively engaging in devotional service. And Prayojan is the result of that Abhidhyaya, that is actually the ultimate goal. So this chapter is called Devotional Service in Action, which means actually Abhidhyaya. So this chapter which we are discussing, it says process of devotional service, which means service means Abhidhyaya. So this is the second most important concept of process of approaching to the goal or achieving the goal. And in this process, the two verses before, today we will start the verse 56, but just I am going two verses before. Verse 54 says, Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kahe, Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoye. So for process of devotional service, the single most important factor is association of devotee. For process of devotional service, the single most important factor is sadhu sangha. There's no other way. I think in this chapter or some other chapter on the front it says, bhakti janam haite bhakta sanghe. The devotion take birth, or the devotion is start only in the association of devotees. So single factor which is important for devotion is sadhu sangha, which may be a fraction, lava matra sadhu sangha. So you might have heard that story. Prabhupada was flying sometime to South America, and on that day there was no prasad packed, so they had some pork rice. So they were given to Prabhupada in place, and then Prabhupada left some and they given to the secretary and the assistant. So when they were having in hand, then somehow this air hostess, she just took a bunch up there and put in mouth. It's strange. Never happened. Say, what is this? It's very nice. Say, somehow this is puff rice, which is really prasad. Somehow you got. And then she says, yeah, it's very nice. How can I serve you? Say, we don't eat anything. We only eat fruit or some milk. Well, she went from first class, she gave some fruit and milk. And she served the devotees, somehow she got some prasad. This was in 71 or something, 72. In 82, some devotees were traveling and distributing books, and they found somewhere Hare Krishna mantras. They knocked the door, and she came out, and she had a temple in the house, and she purchased book, and said, how you become devotee? He said, on that plane, I met the sadhu, and I got some prasad, and it just changed the whole life. So just a fraction of this love matter. And how much time in a flight she would have talked there? She got some prasad. And she got some little, you know, mercy by of doing seva, rendering service to the Vaishnava, and she got the devotion, and she became devotee after that. She said, now I've retired from job and I'm doing this service. So this is love master sadhu. How much association Ajamil got from the sadhus to chant holy name? Only a fraction of moment, but that has saved his life. So he says, love master sadhu sangha sarva siddhi hoye. Just for a moment, sadhu sangha is most important. Now today we are discussing the verses which are like this. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it says, Maya mugdha jivaran nahi shvata Krishna jnana. Because in this material world we are so much intoxicated with the material facilities and glamour and maya, which means illusion, that automatically on our own we can develop Krishna knowledge is not possible. Krishna kripa kaili, he has become merciful. Diya Veda Puran, he has given us knowledge about him. But without him giving knowledge, we cannot know him. So today's verse is focused on this theme. And that verse is like this. कृष्ण कृपालु अर्जुनेर लक्ष्य करिया जगत तेरा राखी आछे ना उपदेश दिया। कृष्ण कृपालु, कृष्ण इज मोस्ट मर्सीफुल। अर्जुन लक्ष्य करिए, अर्जुन लक्ष्य इज जस्ट मेक ए इंस्ट्रूमेंट, अर्जुन एज इंस्ट्रूमेंट। जगत तेरा रक्षी आछे ना फॉर दी प्रोटेक्शन ऑफ द होल वर्ल्ड उपदेश दिया, मीन्स भगवद गीता। सो कृष्ण गेव नॉलेज अबाउट हिम थ्रू हिज डिवोटी अर्जुन because of his mercy, then we can know him. We cannot know him by our own efforts. So Krishna is so merciful that simply by aiming his instruction at Arjuna, he has given protection to the whole world. Jagate Rakshita. So he has protected the whole world by giving the instruction to Arjuna, through Arjuna for the whole world. So he gave Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is what we can call it like sambandha jnana. When we hear this, then we will develop sambandha with Krishna. And then we will develop relation with Krishna, then we will start serving him. So next verse, this is the verse in Bengali. Now to what is in Bhagavad Gita, then somebody will ask, what is in Bhagavad Gita? He gave Bhagavad Gita, so there is lots in Bhagavad Gita. So what is in Bhagavad Gita? So these two verses are quoted from Bhagavad Gita to support this statement. Sarva gohyatmam bhuyaha shrano me paramam vacha istoshi me dhranamati tato vakshyami te tam. This is Krishna speaking to Arjuna. Man manabhav mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mahameveshti satyam te pratijani priyosi me. So one verse is from, these two verses are quoted from 18th chapter. It says 64 and 65, but the verse 65 has a pratijani, it's not satyam, it is satyam te. There's a difference, but somehow it's printed is different. Get Bhagavad Gita, see, it's pratijani priyosi me. Oh, pratijani is there, satyam pratijani, see, there, it is here. Maam evesti satyam te, okay, right, pratijani priyosi me, it's okay. So these are the two verses. These are the two verses which is the most confidential knowledge. Because you are my dear friend, ishto mi dridhante. Ishto means ishto mitra, means you are my dear friend. I am speaking you my supreme instruction. Sarva guhyatmam. Supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Tav hita kamaya, I have desire to give you benefit. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. This is called 4-point program of Krishna. This is a 4-sutri program, 4-point program. Do these 4 and your life is perfect. You will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. I promise you. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes on this verse that Arjun says, Krishna, Vrindavan, he was always speaking double meaning. You eat butter, you say, I have not eaten, so how can I believe? I promise with you. I'm giving you promise that you are my dear friend. I will really telling you this truth. There's nothing doubt about this. So here it says pratijani. Because I'm promising you. Pratijani means pratigya karna. Pratigya karna means I promise you. And now say somebody would say that Gita has also some other subject matter. It has also karma, jnana. So this next verse is Purve Agya Veda Dharma Karma Yoga Jnana Shab Sadhi Seshe Ehi Agya Balavana. Yes, in Gita there is first Karma Kanda, follow the Yajna, then there is follow your own Dharma Swadharma, then there is karma, then there is yoga, then there is jnana, there is all is in Gita. Yes, but sab sadhi, after all everything, sheshesh, in the end this instruction is given which just we discussed. This is the last instruction. That is balavan, because what is said in the last is always powerful. The rule in Sanskrit that there is a purva ardha and uttar ardha. Purva means first half and other, uttar is second half. So second half is always conclusive. Purva half, the beginning is less important than the last part. When we were teaching, then there was a teacher training course. And one part in the teacher training course is usually the students are too much anxiety when it is time frame. You have to finish the paper in 3 hours, 2 hours. Then really it's too anxiety. So they gave us paper. So who will do the first within given time will come number one. And the paper was so simple. 2 + 2 × 3 − 5. But this is a long paper, but in the end it was written, don't do anything. Write your name and give it back. So everybody was really angry. Only one person, he started looking from below and he found that nothing to do. So he just wrote name and gave this, and he was number one. So it's like that whole Bhagavad Gita, there's so many things, but in the end Krishna says, give it all. Only you do one thing. So this is like, unless we reach to the final conclusion, it will not be easy really to understand what he meant. Actually, Gita is a dialogue, you know. If you hear only some words in between, then you will never reach to the conclusion. Then you will come up with some wrong impression. So ultimate instruction, the whole thing, conversation means conclusion is most important. So this is the conclusion, that you become my devotee is the conclusion. So those wise people can only take conclusion. Otherwise, they misunderstand the purpose of Gita. Therefore, some people say Gita is speaking karam, some people say it is only jnana, some people say something, they just take a different meaning. Because they take something out of context. Some person was walking in a street and he heard from a house, cut throat. Huh? Cut the arms. So he was really surprised. Some murder is going on. Gala kato. Bhadu kato. He went to the police and police raided their house. And they were very much concerned. And when they opened, knocked the door, the old man came out. He said, what murder is going on? He said, what murder? No murder. He said, no, somebody gave us report that gala kato. I am tailor, I am teaching my student collar kato, baju kato. So this is taking out of context and making the whole problem. So people really taking out of context Bhagavad Gita. The Krishna said this only. So this is something we should be really. So Parvati's final instruction, that is the goal we should achieve. So here, Kaviraj Goswami is saying Krishna's purpose was different. So he says, although Krishna previously explained, previously means in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the proficiency of executing Vedic ritual, performing fruitive activities as enjoyed in the Vedas, practicing yoga and cultivating jnana, these last means 2 verses just we discussed, are most powerful and stand above all the others. Manmana Bhagavad, but this is the last instruction. Next verse says, Ehi agya bale bhakter ashardha yadi hai sarva karma tyag kari sehi Krishna bhajai. Now, if the devotee has faith in the strength of this order, it means in Bhagavad Gita, if we have faith in this instruction of Krishna, Manmana Bhagavad Bhakto, that this is my final instruction. then this devotee will worship Lord Krishna and give up all other activities. Then he will give up all other activities and worship Krishna, if he has a faith. It takes long time really to develop that type of faith. It's not easy. There's a pliable faith, there's a little strong faith, and there is an unflinching faith. There are different levels of faith, and based on that there are different levels of devotees. This is the next subject matter of this whole talk. And then the verse is quoted from Bhagavatam, 11th canto.
Tavat karmani kuravita,
as long as you do the work, tavat, as long as.
Na nirave dayavat,
till you are not really stayated, nirvedya.
Mat katha sarvadau va sharadha yavam jayate.
You do the work as long as you have not developed taste for hearing my katha. Once you develop taste for hearing my katha, then you will have no taste in activities. So the translation is, as long as one is not stirred by fruitive activities and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by Sharvanam Kirtanam Vishnu, one has to act according to the regulative principle of Vedic injection. So this is a verse quoted which says, till we develop a taste for Krishna Katha, we will be still continuing with our activities. As soon as we develop taste for Krishna Katha, then that is the only primary activity of our life. And there is enough in Krishna activity that we can be busy 24 hours. How we develop taste for Krishna Katha? That's a question now. How can we develop taste in Krishna Katha? Krishna Katha Ruchi, this is Bhagavatam, subject of Bhagavatam, first canto. The Ruchi or taste for Krishna Katha develop by associating Mahat Sevaya, by associating and serving the devotees, by their blessing we will develop taste for Krishna Katha. This is the only way to develop Krishna Katha, by associating and serving the devotees. Mahat Sevaya Rati Upajayate, that the taste will develop by that method. The next verse said, what is Shraddha? What is Shraddha? Because when Shraddha develops, then it forms. So what is Shraddha?
Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kahe Swadhirda Nishchaya Krishna Krishna Bhakti Kaila Sarva Karma Krita Hai.
This is the normal verse. Of, usually we all should remember, this is the definition of Shraddha. And bhakti starts with Shraddha, Adav Shraddha, and bhakti continues with Shraddha, and bhakti culminates in Shraddha. So Shraddha is all through, from beginning till end. So 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita starts with word Shraddha, and the chapter ends with word Shraddha. Mayavesh Manoye Mamnita Yukta Shardhaya Paryopeta. It is started with Shardha. And it's culminated in Shardha. Shardhana Mat Parma Bhaktaste Ati Nepriya. Shardha actually means thing which is not in front of your eyes. But you have heard about this and you have developed faith and you are, that's called Shardha. Shardha is not for the thing which is not in front of you. It is something which is not in front of you. So Shardha is like this. Shraddha in seva of Krishna. Krishna is not in front of us. But we have faith from the Shastra. So Shraddha is a Vishwas. Vishwas means it's nothing which is right in front of our eyes, but we have to have a faith in the words of authority. That's called Shraddha. So Shraddha is confident. Vishwas. Firm faith. that by rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. Sarva karma krita hohe. Such faith is favorable to discharge of devotional service. So Srila Prabhupada's purpose. Firm faith and confidence are called Shraddha. So Shraddha has two meanings, firm faith and confidence. This is an Upadesha Amrit. What is that? Utsaha Dhairyam. Nishtya. Nishtya is confidence. Nishtya. That's also confidence. So faith and confidence are called Shraddha. When engaged in the Lord's devotional service, he is to be understood to have performed all his responsibilities in the material world. This is something in Bhagavatam which says, those who are chanting Hare Krishna, they have already performed all the Vedic rituals, they have already completed all the pilgrimage of the holy places, they have already finished all the studies of the Vedas. Now they are chanting holy name, it means they have completed all the necessary ritualistic activities which are essential for the human being. So it means they have done all the other karma already, therefore they are at this stage of chanting Hare Krishna. Otherwise it is not possible. It is not possible. They cannot do it. So it means they have done everything already. He has satisfied his forefathers, Pitra. Ordinary living entities, Bhuta. Demigods, the Deva. And free from all responsibilities. What is this? What Prabhupada is speaking this? Every grasta has to perform 5 yajna every day. Because he is knowingly or unknowingly killing living entities when sweeping the house, when igniting fire, when transferring water. So many living entities are killed by walking. So there are 5 yajna everybody should do. The first yajna is called Pitra Yajna. For the forefathers, they have given us the birth and home and everything. The other yajna is called Deva Yajna. For the demigod, they are providing us all the facilities. Then there is a Rishi Yajna because they have given us the scripture. Then there is a Bhut Yajna, other living entities for which they used to give the first roti for the cow, the last roti for the dog. Now we are dog, we are cow, everything we nobody is giving to cow and dog. Last roti is for the because husband comes late, the last is for him. So let him bark. And first roti she eats and she is cow, she says, I am very, very peaceful. So Atati Yajna, the fifth yajna is Atati Yajna, the guest. So Deva Yajna, Pitra Yajna, Rishi Yajna, Bhut Yajna and Atati Yajna. This means the one who is in Krishna consciousness, he has already done all this. They are all included in that. He is exempted from them. That's what it means. He is exempted from them. Because next verse from Bhagavatam will be quoted to substantiate this point. Such a person does not need to meet his responsibilities separately. It is automatically done. Fruitive activity karma is meant to satisfy the senses of the conditioned soul. However, when one awakens to Krishna consciousness, he does not have to work separately for pious activities. Because they are included in his work. The best achievement of all fruity activities is detachment from material life. And this detachment is spontaneously enjoyed by a devotee firmly engaged in the Lord's service. The detachment, the word detachment is vairagya. In Sanskrit it's called vairagya. So vairagya, the one definition of vairagya is detachment. But the more deep definition of the vairagya is vishesha raga. Vishesh means special, rag means attachment. When we will develop a special attachment to Krishna, that's called vairagya, then automatically we will be detached from the world. It's not that you have to give up everything and you will not get anything. So you get Krishna and it is so wonderful that you are not interested in useless things of this world. So this is the real definition of vairagya. When you have vishesha, vishesha means specific, special attachment to Krishna, then automatically you will develop detachment from the temporary material things. If you get something diamond, then why you will be attached to the pieces of glass? That it means actually. You get diamond, why you should be attached to the pieces of glass? No. That's what it means. Then Srila Prabhupada is quoting verse from Bhagavatam to support this statement that by serving Krishna all work will be done. And this statement is from 4th canto of Bhagavatam. And this is the teaching of Narada to Prithu Maharaj. Prithu Maharaj is one of the incarnation and he is a perfect king. He is a perfect king who has established the townships, who has established the every citizens, how he should maintain by his prescribed duty as a swadharam, and he has provided food for all the living entities in his kingdom, and starting from the birds, beasts, human beings and demigods, everybody. So he was a perfect ruler, and then he retired at a perfect time. So before retirement, he get a instruction from four Kumaras, not Narada. The Sanaka, this is the four Kumaras is speaking this verse. Sanakadi Rishis, they are speaking this verse. Yatha tarora mula nisyenena tripayanti tata skanda bhujja upashakha prana upaharacha yatha indriyanam tateva sarvaharanam achutte jaya. By pouring water on the root of the tree, one automatically sells by the trunk, branches, twigs. Similarly, by supplying the food to the stomach, where it nourishes the life here, one sells by all the senses. In the same way, by worshipping Krishna, Achyuta, rendering him service, one automatically satisfies all the demigods and all the things. So by simply serving Krishna, everybody will be satisfied automatically. This is next verse.
Shardhavan jana hai bhakti adhikari uttam madhyam kanishta shardha anuswari.
So now, who is adhikari for bhakti? And who is adhikari means who is eligible for devotion, or a shardhavan, anybody who has a shardha. That's what the bhajan we sing. Who is the recipient of holy name? Shardhavan jana hai. Those who have a faith, they can, the price to pay for the holy name is Shardha. You can only buy Shardha, you can buy a holy name. There's no other way. Shardhavan jana hai. A faithful devotee is truly eligible candidate for loving service of the Lord, which means bhakti. According to one's faith, one is classified as topmost devotee, an intermediate devotee, or an inferior devotee. There are three words. Uttam, Madhyam, Kanishta. The word Shardhavan, faithful, means understanding Krishna to be the Samam Bonam, or the eternal truth and absolute transcendence. So Prabhupada's definition of Shardhavan. Shardhavan is one who understands Krishna as Samam Bonam, means absolute truth, everything inclusive. Krishna, everything inclusive. Nothing is separate from Krishna. This material world is not separate from Krishna. It is also His creation. Everything, absolute truth means Krishna with all His energies. Internal energy, marginal energy, external energy. So all energy inclusive is the absolute truth. Krishna with all His energy is the absolute truth. If one has full faith in Krishna and confidence in Him, one becomes eligible to discharge devotional service confidentially. According to one's faith, one is topmost, intermediate and inferior devotees.
Shastara yuktai sune puna dridha shardha yara uttamadhikari sei tarai sansara.
So now is the definition of the Uttam Adhikari, the topmost devotee.
Shastra Yuktaira Swanipuna. Shastra Yukta, he knows the scripture and is very knows the conclusive truth, and he is able to establish his point from Shastra. Nipuna means perfect. So Shastra Yukta in argument and logic. So Nipuna, very expert. One is very expert in argument and logic of the Shastra. Number one. Number two, Dridha Shraddha Yaha. And his faith is very Dridha. Dridha means very determined faith. Faith, unshakable faith. Dridha means unshakable faith. Two. Number three. So he is Uttam Adhikari. So what can he do? So what is third thing? Third thing is Tare Sansara. The result, such a person can deliver the whole world. So any person who have these two qualities, he knows the scripture conclusively and very expert in logic and argument, and one who has faith is so dridha or so fixed, the result will be he can deliver many people. Sansara. So now you just look on in these lines, Srila Prabhupada. You just have it and see the life of Srila Prabhupada, how much expert he was in explaining the Vedic truths to the youth of the rebellious youth of the America. Without logic you cannot convince them. There's an age difference. They were younger than his grandchildren. And these American hippies, they have rejected their parents' old style of life. So why they should listen to a 70-year-old man when they have rejected all their old parents? So this is a very contrast situation. And then, so one Prabhupada has a Shastra Yukti Nipuna. He was perfect in giving answer. One news reporter was asking question to Prabhupada, why you have shaven head? Prabhupada said, and she was wearing a skirt. He said, why you have bare legs? Now she was answerless. What can she still say? Then Prabhupada said, it's better to have a cool head and warm legs. This is Shastra. Have a warm leg and cool head. Then again, nasty. She was really nasty. She said, if everybody become devotee, then how the world will function? She said, Prabhupada, fools like you will remain, don't worry. And she was so... And somebody in Calcutta, he came to Prabhupada and said, there are so many temples already in India. Why you are building big temples? Building some school, some hospital. And the person has his son with him. He said, who is he? It is my son. He said, so many boys are walking, why do you have your own son? There are so many children there, then why do you have your own son? That is my son. That is my temple. So he was in a song, spontaneously when he used to give answer, it makes people silence, like, and there's no way to say. Somebody asked him, why God has created in this world this pop and other things? How can God be good with like this? And this was a girl asking this question. Prabhupada, you are a very nice girl, but you still pass this path is still, so what it means, you are bad? His way of explaining things was so amazing that the Shastra Yukti, and he had so much faith in Bhagavatam particularly. He has so much faith that this Bhagavatam will revolutionize the whole world spiritually. Then what he has written actually in the introduction of Bhagavatam, this can revolutionize spiritually the whole world. Srila Prabhupada has written one line in the purport even before he established ISKCON. He said, whole world is suffering. In the whole world there is no peace. There is so much chaos in the whole world, and responsible is India. Somebody says, India is so
ahimsa, they are non-violent, they never go out of their territory. One of the lectures Prabhupada said, India never went out of their territory to conquer anything because they are self-satisfied. Then Prabhupada is giving answer. Why India responsible? Because India has not propagated the message of Bhagavatam, which can bring spiritual revolution in the world and make the whole world peaceful. So India has actually not done its duty of propagating the message of Bhagavatam. In its firm faith, this Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna. And it can change the life of the people and make them pious. It can change the impious life of the people and make them pious. That's what Prabhupada says. And he has a faith in holy name. How much faith he has in a holy name? He said, only by chanting Hare Krishna, all your problems will be solved. So in early days, it was 60s, 66, 7. In Boston, the whole temple was supported by the salary of Satsarup Maharaj. Then at that time, he was Satsarup. Working in some social welfare department, his salary, but the devotees were incurring, the salary was not enough, so they were having a meeting. How can we maintain the temple? Somebody said, I have this expertise, I can have this job. So at that time they were doing job, getting some money and maintaining temple. This was the system of quite early days. Brahmananda was working in his school, he was getting his salary and printing this back to guided on a stencil, old style. So they were discussing like that, I can do this work, I can do this work. Then one very simple Nanda Kumar devotee, he said, Prabhupada said, by chanting, all your material and spiritual problem will be solved. That Prabhupada said like this, so why not to try? They went in the street, they chanted Hare Krishna. When they chanted Hare Krishna, then people put some money, and when they came in the home back, it was $12. $12 in those days was, it works. This you chant Hare Krishna, it works. The next day they went, it became $18. $24, they said, this works. And then they started doing Hare Krishna and everything was coming. So Prabhupada, the faith in holy name, simply you chant Hare Krishna, and this will really change the, this will bring all your material and spiritual problems are solved. Simply holy name is so much powerful. So this is the faith of Prabhupada, these two things. And third result, whole world can be delivered. And he has actually practically delivered the whole world by giving this Krishna conscious movement to the whole world. Particularly the Indian living out of India for 2-3 generations, they become really proud of their culture because of Krishna conscious movement. I'm just traveling and seeing the people in Africa and other countries because they were away from their homeland for 3 generations and they were there, they went as a slave. British took them as a slave. Now when they see the British and American chanting Hare Krishna in Dhoti, they feel, oh, this is our culture. And they are proud of our culture. So actually Krishna consciousness has given a revival of the spiritual cultures of the overseas India. And you have experience. In India you were not devotee, but here Bahrain you have become devotee. So out of, yeah, the doctor Sahib is saying same thing. And everybody has this experience because it has given us a society. It's called international society. So because here you don't have a society, the other people are living here, they have their own society. You don't have a society. This society is giving actually a life to the people to breathe actually and be in a community. And this community I've seen is so wonderfully working. You are alone here. You are working. You have to work. Now sometimes some tragedy happens. I've seen somebody's small child was sick in Dubai. Now, man has to go to the work. A lady has to take care of the home or something. Then congregation has decided who will be in the hospital with the boy. And mother stays there, then who will cook for the whole family. So they decided among 7 people, 10 people to take care of the whole family. So this is called communities. So for whole bodily needs and spiritual needs are taken care of. It's not we are a full, complete him, individual. It's not that only his spirit, but body has to be taken care. And I know, and I've witnessed this one Sri Lankan devotee, he left body. And now there's nobody there, and all devotees, the whole life, they are standing, taking care. His brothers came on second day, they said, you are real brother, actually. We were away, and how much you took care of all these things, which is not possible. This society has given people really all support, material and spiritual. So the people, this society has all over the world has given Indian living outside of India a great pride, a gaurav of their spiritual culture. This movement has given really something for the history to know. And more than that, 5,000 years from today, when historian will write that there are Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam in different languages of the world, every language of the world practically there is a scripture, and every country there is some temple, some deities, at that time they will write that the Vedic civilization was spread all over the planet. They will write it, because they will find in Africa some Radha Krishna deities, they will find some Sita Ram Hanuman deities there, then they will find some books in their own language, even something carved on the stone they will see, then they will write this Vedic civilization was spread all over the world, and then they will find that one person has accomplished this one thing. One person has accomplished. This is something Srila Prabhupada actually changed the history of the world. The world will know it maybe after thousands of years. In Baku, I was in Baku last. This is September. I was in Baku. Baku is Azerbaijan. So there's a, they call Atash Temple. It's a fire temple. This is a country where there are lakes of oil. The oil they have not to dug. It's like a big lake of oil. They used to fill in olden days on the camel, like water, and then you take the camels as the oil, crude oil. So there's a gas also, and there's automatically fire burning there. So it's called fire temple. And the rooms are there where the people with tilak and all these people were doing tapasya are there. And on this stone it is written, Ganapati Namaha Paramatmane Namah, in Sanskrit everything is written. It means the people used to go there. Those who were worshipping fire, they were doing like a yajna. So the whole history is that so these places were inhabited by the Vedic civilization. Now this one thing written there for 400 years back, now they have to say that so many, this is not written now. It says Paramatmane Namaha. This word is written there, the whole Sanskrit is written there. So the history, they cannot match the history, they have to write it. The Caspian Sea, huh? The Kashyap Rishi was having their ashram there sometime. So this area is called Caspian Sea. They write this like this. So they know this is history. So when 5,000 years after Point Prabhupada, this whole missions activity all over the world will be documented, then one person has changed the whole history of the world. So what this verse says, that is called Uttam Adhikari. He is expert in logic and argument based on the Shastra. And he has a firm faith in the words of the God. Unflinching faith that this is yes. That person can deliver the whole world. And it says in Vasudeva, I think one of the Mahaprabhu's followers write, one single Mahaprabhu's follower can deliver the whole planet, what we speak of one world. Ek ek Mahaprabhu ra bhakta tare ek lok. They can deliver one planet. One person can deliver one planet. So this is one of the Gauravani Pracharani. This is the one person who has preached the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a messenger of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He can deliver the whole world, whole planet, what to speak of whole world. There is Uttam Adhikari's definition, and we are just And based on that we are seeing how Prabhupada was perfectly Uttamadhikari. Okay, next verse 66 is, or this is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Shastre yuktau cha nipunaha sarva artha dridha nischayaha praudha sharadho adhikariyaha sa bhaktava uttamo mataha. One who is expert in logic and in understanding the revealed scriptures, and who always has firm conviction and deep faith, that is not blind, is to be considered the topmost devotee in devotional service. Now next verse. Shastar yukti nahi jane dridha shardhavan madhyamadhikari sei mahabhagyavan. Now the intermediate devotee. Shastra yukti nahi jane, he is not very expert in logic and knowing shastra. But dridha shardhavan, but his firm faith that I just go on this path of chanting Hare Krishna, it will give me perfection. He has a firm faith. Faith is very strong, but shastra yukti na jane, he is not expert in understanding and presenting logically and with argument shastra. He is called Madhyam Adhikari, say Mahay Bhagavan, he is most fortunate. It means he can only deliver himself, he cannot deliver many people. He is most fortunate at this stage. So one who is not very expert in argument and logic based on the revealed scripture, but who has firm faith and is considered a second class devotee, he also must be considered most fortunate. Yah shastradishu anipunaha shardhavan sattu madhyamaha bhakti samatsandhu. He who does not know scriptural argument very well, but who has firm faith, is called intermediate or second class devotee. Next word. Yahara komala shardha sei kanishta jana krame krame teho bhakta hai deutama. One whose faith is very soft and pliable. This komal shardha. Komal shardha means if Monday he is coming here, next day he is going to the other place, next day he is going to the other place. His faith is very soft, pliable, it can change. One whose faith is soft and pliable is called neophyte, but by gradually following the process, he will rise to the platform of first class. If you follow the process, he can advance. Now here, one thing I simply want to mention, and then I think it's time to close. These three types of devotees, Madhyam, Uttam and Kanishth, means you can say lower, middle and topmost. This is among the devotees. The Kanishth devotee is higher than Yogi and Jnani. This first you understand simple thing. Simple example is that in Parliament there are, say in Indian Parliament there are 500 MPs, Member of Parliament. Now one Member of Parliament is a Minister for Sport, and one Member is the Prime Minister. So Prime Minister is the Uttam Adhikari. The Sport Minister is the Kanishtha Adhikari. He has a small portfolio. But he is MP, he is not ordinary one person living among millions of India. So it says he is higher than even the officers, the secretary. That one minister is higher than chief secretary. So Kanishtha Bhakta is higher than Karmis, Karamkandis, Jnanis, Yogis. He is higher than all those. So, even if a Kanishtha Bhakta, he is in hierarchy, very hierarchy. So we should not consider the Kanishtha Bhakta as insignificant. They are most valuable. And krame krame, if they really follow the process, they will advance. And Prabhupada wanted we should at least advance to the Madhyam Adhikari. We should not remain Kanishta, but we should advance to the level of Madhyam. And that is based on Shraddha. Like most of us are not very much expert in Shastra, we don't have time to study Shastra. But if our Shraddha is good only, if our Shraddha only, our faith will be completely firm that only this process is completely perfect, we have not to change anything, that will bring us to the level of Madhyam. And then we are most fortunate, Bhagyavan. So there's a support by, this verse is supported by Bhakti Sanjay. Yo bhaveta komal shardha sa kanishto nigadhyate. One whose faith is not very strong, who is just beginning, should be considered neophyte devotee. Now, the next verse has a very lengthy purport. Maybe next time we should start this. Rati prema tartamai bhakta taratama ekadata skande tara karyache lakshan. A devotee is considered superlative or superior according to his attachment and love. In the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, the following symptoms have been given. Now, from here, we will have the description of different levels of devotees from 11th canto of Bhagavatam, which is described, Madhyam, Kanishtha and Uttam. What are their symptoms from 11th canto? It's better when we are discussing this, if we have 11th canto simultaneously, and we study together, then it will be a complete way to accomplish this. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Our time ends here. Any question or comment?